This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Monday morning edition of VSiN by the Books, and look where we are. We're back home here on the Tennessee-Kentucky border. I'm Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky, and our closer back home in Cleveland, Ohio. What a weekend. It's been a whirlwind for us here in the last week here, Jensen, but we start off on Monday grounded back where we're supposed to be.
Great to see you. It sounds like your sojourn to the desert went as well as it could, my friend. The country roads took me back home safe and sound on Saturday evening. It was a scene of scenes in Morgantown, and I can tell you, the eyes of a nation descended upon Middle America later on this week. We'll preview some College World Series stuff, but good to be back with you, brother. And we're kind of getting to that point. We're kind of getting to the changeover, right? NBA Finals yes. starting to wrap up, Stanley Cup Final, football on the horizon, already starting to see some things for college and NFL. Brother, it'll be here before you know it. Thank you for signing us up for millions. Really excited to start getting to some football talk here in the next handful of weeks.
We'll get to some football talk, and yes, more about that. It was a great weekend in Las Vegas. Great to see everybody and a lot of our VSiN brethren there, and obviously going to the fights on Saturday night with Zaid Hussein, Rob Moreno. We had an absolute blast, so we'll dive into that. And, of course, Freedom 250 this week at the White House. I mean, my goodness, what a week. We'll preview a fight every day here as we get ready for that big one on Saturday night. But boy, what a show we've got lined up today. Pete Jensen's going to join us here to talk all things Stanley Cup. And while I'm watching the fights, that crazy, crazy game three is going on in Las Vegas. We got game four on the horizon tomorrow. We'll break that down with Pete. Zachary Cohen, of course, is going to join us as we get ready for Madison Square Garden. My goodness, we'll get to that 1 second, maybe 3-0 here with the Knicks back at home. And Will Hill, the Should Have Been More podcast. Of course, I listened to it on the way in this morning. We'll catch up with Will, the King of Connecticut, later on in this show. But the Knicks getting so close to doing something they haven't done since 1973. That's where we begin today's edition of our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Of course, it would not be over tonight if the Knicks beat the Spurs and take a 3-0 lead. But since it's never happened in the history of the NBA Finals where you come back from 0-3, it feels like it would be. So, Jensen, we know what the Spurs are up against tonight. I don't know that they know what they're up against tonight in Madison Square Garden, that environment, the anticipation. It could work against the home team, too. We'll talk about that as the show goes. But tonight, two-point favorites here for the Knicks. You feel like this would be San Antonio's last stand if they have one left in them.
Totally agree. And really, it is one of those unique spots, too, right, where – We are seeing some of the resale markets, Dave, $10,000 just to get in for what will be classified as one of the worst seats in the arena. It will be pomp and circumstance and then some. But it is kind of interesting to look at where the market has it right now. About 60% of bets, Dave, 61% of dollars on the Spurs, +2, and it has come down from +2.5. Where the open was, you can still find some 2.5s out there. FanDuel, BetRivers, Fanatics, BetMGM still have that up there. I'm seeing a 1.5 right now at DraftKings. So if it is the last stand, the public feels like they want not only a game five, but they feel that they can get it done here tonight in game three as well.
Yeah, can we get it over? We've had two unders here in the first two games, and it's kind of like in the NHL, can we get an under there? Everything's going over there. So trends that have been following so far in the NBA and the NBA Finals, we'll break that down here a little bit later on. I was watching that game, game two, with Jonathan Davis, our good friend here in the network, a friend of our show as well. And JD, I was like, boy, I need that overtime to come. And then the Wemby turnover happens, the foul on Brunson, he makes 1-2, and the under hits in game two. Right now, about 215.5 is what we're seeing. We'll break down that number as the show goes. But that game three in Las Vegas on Saturday night, and again, I'm literally in transit from UFC Apex after that fight is done, the fight card, and they're in overtime in game three as I'm going and making my way back towards Circa. And Jensen, just listening in my car ride back, you get the scoreless first overtime frame, and then you basically get the own goal, if you will. You throw it off the boards, goes off the back of the leg of the backup goaltender, and that's how VGK takes a 2-1 lead after just a wild, wild game three. One more to go tomorrow night in Las Vegas before the venue shifts back to Carolina, but it does kind of feel like if Vegas doesn't get that lucky break, we're talking about one of the all-time collapses in the history of the NHL Finals.
Oh, no doubt. And I think that's the uniqueness, too, of where you were 4-0. I was like, oh, well, my Hurricanes money line bet is that. We'll go ahead and
toast.
Make that a very expensive coaster, if you will. And then I go and check the score, and I'm like, wait a minute. 4-4. Did Carter Hart pass out? And, you know, we don't have any resistance there. What a ridiculous finish there. But a big one. And you mentioned it, right? If Vegas doesn't get that game, then all of a sudden we are in deep, deep trouble, because I think there would have been a carryover. Now, there may be as well when we get to game four tomorrow night. But I think at the end of the day, all's well that ends well. John Tortorella with some choice comments, you know, kind of like, hey, how you feeling? Well, how you think I'm feeling? I mean, it's just,
right.
It was kind of wild to see. I would tell you, Dave, right now, about two-thirds of the money on the Knights right now, who I think are a little bit more of a short dog here at home, seeing minus $1.05. A lot of the Hurricanes prices upwards of $1.15. So I would think that the public thinks that the Knights can carry at least some of the overtime momentum into a game four tomorrow night. We'll obviously preview that in earnest. For what it's worth, Dave, Jonathan Davis, the Iceman, saying that the biggest question tomorrow night, did you ever think we'd have to worry about a goaltender switch with the way that Carolina's been? Potentially Freddie Anderson out, Brandon Bussey in. Interesting little development with what happened there. And we'll kind of have to wait and see what happens tomorrow night for sure.
Frederik Andersen now is 65-1 to win the Conn Smythe. I mean, it is amazing what has happened to his number, as it's just plummeted. And it was great catching up with JD. We'll talk about that a little bit more over the weekend. He did like Vegas. His call was right. As I asked him before game three, what do you think? He says, I like Vegas. And boy, do they look good. And they do get the job done there in the wildest manner possible. World Cup is going to get underway on Thursday. We'll break that down a lot as the week goes as well. Team USA will begin their campaign on Friday here, Jensen. We'll do a little bit more talking. Patrick Maher had a great special here on the network over the weekend here. And what are you looking for on Thursday as we kick this thing off, besides what I'll be looking for with red, white, and blue?
I'll be looking for ticket prices. No, I'm kidding. We'll see what happens. And again, it's always that pressure part of it, right? You know, you're the host nation. A lot expected of you. The fans are going to show out there. But honestly, I think we started doing this a couple of weeks ago, looking at, you know, the Survivor competition that we have for VSiN and for people that are going to want to get in that. I have a little bit more in-depth strategy-wise. You got to get at least four teams out into the knockout round, and how you're kind of weighing which teams you'd rather pick and use and think, okay, yeah, they're good enough, but can they get far enough? Really interesting dynamic, and let's get Team USA into a spot where you hope the home fans can get them not only to the knockout round, but let's see if they can create some drama. They will be Cinderella in some respects if they can move even further into quarters, semis, and I'm not even going to say they're going to get close to the finals, but going to be very interesting to see what they do out of group play.
Maybe a chaos candidate. Stay tuned this week. Let's talk about some first-timers over there at Roland-Garros on the red clay of Paris. Alexander Zverev and Mira Andreeva get their first ever Grand Slam titles at the French Open. Zverev was about 11-1 pre-tournament going in here, about second short of sides. And, you know, you get the break with Sinner going out early. Novak, of course, his elder statesman days here. And it kind of opened up for Zverev. He takes it, gets it down there. And then Andreeva, the 19-year-old Russian, she was 9-1 here, fifth shortest odds on the boards. And Jensen, look, the pathway, sometimes things open up for you to get that first one. But I think first-timers, not sure how many people saw this coming.
Absolutely. The 29-year-old German Zverev, 11-1 pre-tournament. That was the second shortest odds, ironically, when you kind of look at where the ultimate upset of Jannik Sinner ended up shocking the entire tournament on the men's side. And then, you know, knowing where Sabalenka was eliminated, she was, I think, short of 3.5-1, along with a couple of other of the shorter shots there. But 19-year-old Andreeva, wow, what a performance for her, 9-1. She was the fifth shortest odds there. And we are just a handful of weeks away from Wimbledon. Come on down, Gil Alexander, your first appearance of the year coming here on VSiN by the Books in just a handful of weeks to handicap that dandy. If we had the opportunity to be out there, Dave, would you rather be in the stadium or would you rather be on the lawn there on Murray's Hill? Yeah, Murray's Hill, or however they – yeah, right, exactly.
It used to be for Tim Henman, right? He was the original first English, and then I think it switched over to Murray Hill. Whatever, it's just pick your Englishman du jour and that hill. I think I want to be on the hill maybe with a Coca-Cola or two. JT Poston, he posted a number. How about this? I mean, this was his tournament to win at Jack's Place, and then he's just falling all over the place here on Sunday and then picks himself up by the bootstraps and birdies 18 to force a playoff with Ryan Gerard and then survives the playoff round against Ryan to get that win at Jack's Place. That's a life changer, Jensen. We've talked about it a lot last week. We'll talk about it a little bit more as the show goes on. I didn't get to keep an eye on this tournament being in my trials and tribulations in Las Vegas traveling to and from. I did catch the end of it yesterday, but it looked like his tournament to lose and looked like he was going to lose it, and then he won it in the end. It's got to have a good feeling to close in front of the Golden Bear.
And with all the weather in our part of the country, Dave, remarkable they got it in. Shout out to all the groundskeeping personnel that were able to get that course back into playable conditions for sure.
And Golden Temple, I believe, won the Triple Crown. Oh, didn't race in the previous, but did win the Belmont as well after winning at the Kentucky Derby. That would have been nice to see, but he went off at 5-1 and got it done as well. When we come back, let's talk about what's going to happen tonight, potentially at the world's most famous arena. Game 3, we'll break it down next right here. VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Monday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. And Jensen, it is official. We are in for Circa Millions, my man. I've got the hat. And I was asked on X, who's going to be able to wear the hat? And I don't know the answer to that question, but I have not taken it out of the packaging. I wanted to show you that we are official. And as I said, everybody else is playing for second place, Jensen. We are in it to win it this year. I asked Mike Palm if they were a little bit nervy now that we're officially signed up. He said, no. I think they feel comfortable. We're going to shock the world this year. We're taking down the house. Cannot wait to get into Circa Millions as this summer goes. Let's get into what we're going to see tonight. Game 3 here of the NBA Finals. Spurs and Knicks right now. Spurs about 2-point underdogs on the road. And you're not just going on the road to any old place. You know, I always like to say, and I know some people, it's nails on a chalkboard, the world's most famous arena. It is. It is a different atmosphere than what you're going to get at most barns out there in the NBA. And I know some people on our network tend to think it's overrated and that maybe there really isn't that big of a home court advantage. I would not be one of those people, Jensen. It can work against you, too, right? When the Knicks are bad, certainly that place can be a tougher place for the home team to play. They're going to get all the roses. They're going to get all the love. It's going to be raucous at the beginning of this game. Yes, if it gets tight late and things go the other way, Knicks fans are going to be shocked if they don't win this game tonight, I do believe. But if you're San Antonio, How do you rebound after losing the first two in the manner in which you did at home and then somehow get off the deck? I'm a little surprised it's only two if you're picking up what I'm putting down.
Yeah, no, it is true. And I think also looking at what that energy will be like from not only opening tip, but if the Knicks kind of get out to that fast start, which they've done a couple of times, then it will feel just like an armada against you. For what it's worth, you know, I think there needs to be kind of that feel of, okay, it's us against the world, which I'm sure San Antonio feels that way. But now you've had a couple of days, Dave. It's not like it was a day off and now you're going to come back and play. You've had a couple of days to kind of reevaluate. What are the coaching changes for Mitch Johnson and also trying to counteract a couple of guys, namely Karl-Anthony Towns? I believe it was you and a couple of other people here on the network before this final started and said, if you were going to pivot off of Jalen Brunson, Karl-Anthony Towns is going to present some problems in the front court here for San Antonio. It has played out. Buddy, I could not have seen Karl-Anthony Towns coming down to be the second choice, or at least the second shortest odds to be the finals MVP, but he has earned that moniker. Knicks have won 13 in a row. They're 12-1 against the spread. I think that is the most shocking part, Dave, is it's not just winning. They're winning going away. And you know, game two was kind of the closest it's been. So fascinated to see what the adjustments are later on tonight, but you're right. It's game seven if you're San Antonio, no question about it.
No, it was. I gave it out right here on our show. I said 22-1 is Karl-Anthony Towns. That would be the play for me. I mentioned it in our chaos candidates before the series began. He is the guy that I identified certainly as the difference maker. And there is something different about going up against a contemporary in Chet Holmgren and then going up against a grown man in Karl-Anthony Towns. Doesn't always act like a grown man sometimes out there, but this year in the finals, he has. And I think he is kind of showing him like YMCA ball. It's a little bit different now when you're going up against me at this juncture and the way that Cat is performing. So that's the task, really. It does somehow get down to, can Victor Wembanyama dominate Karl-Anthony Towns? Because Cat is taking it right to him. And the 22-year-old right now is not responding well. If you want to call a spade, maybe he is tired. Maybe the legs are starting to go a little bit. But this has grown, you know what, man, with Karl-Anthony Towns right now against Victor. Look, at plus $1.65, I wouldn't advise it now to play Karl-Anthony Towns. I do think the best of the number clearly has gotten away. Remember, he was 12-1 before game two. And I said, you should consider that. If you don't have the 22-1s that we gave out, I would consider the 12-1s. But at this point, the only way that I could play it is Jalen Brunson, ironically, at plus $1.15, if you're on the Knicks side. I would not play the Karl-Anthony Towns number now. Okay, not to say I don't think he can win, because I think he should be the MVP right now. But I think the value's been extracted in the number. So again, there's people going to go, well, wait a minute. If you thought Karl-Anthony Towns was going to be the MVP, the number was playable at 22-1, certainly at 12-1 after what you saw in game one. Now I would not. And by the way, if you wanted to pivot to Victor Wembanyama, if you still think the Spurs are live, at plus 380, that's exactly where I would go if you believe the Spurs can get off the deck. So again, instead of playing, you know, what are you going to get tonight? You're going to get about a plus $1.10, plus $1.20 somewhere in the marketplace in San Antonio on the money line. I would look to Victor Wembanyama at plus 380 if you really believe that they're not going to, they could potentially at least win one here in the next two at Madison Square Garden and force this series back to San Antonio, where theoretically they would get a game five, certainly, and potentially a game seven back on their home court. So that would be the pivots for me at this juncture. But yeah, Karl-Anthony Towns was the play that we gave out last week for good reason. He kind of felt like at 22-1, could he kind of big ball and show Wemby there are levels to this? And he's going to get better, by the way. This is the worst version of Victor Wembanyama that you're probably going to see in an NBA final for years to come. Remember that too, people. Not dogging Victor Wembanyama. This is just a guy now in Cat who's kind of been there, done that, and this is his time to shine, it feels like. Game three is going to be very important, you would think, for Victor Wembanyama to reassert his dominance as the best big man in the game. Let's talk very quickly about what we might see tomorrow night here for game four in the Stanley Cup Finals. And I mentioned with Frederik Andersen dropping to 65-1 in the marketplace for Conn Smythe. Mitch Marner, with his absolutely spectacular game three, has vaulted to 215-210 in some spots as the Conn Smythe winner. Boy, Jensen, I don't know if I want to lay it with Mitch Marner because that means VGK obviously is going to go on to get the win. That feels like a little too steep of an adjustment here on the Marner side. I'd rather play VGK straight up.
Oh, absolutely. And again, if you are a VSIN Pro subscriber, Bill AD mentioning in his daily email today, not often you see the favorite for Conn Smythe be a heavier price than the actual team to win the Stanley
That's
Cup.
Ridiculous.
And that is the case where we are right now. Good note here from Jonathan Davis. The Hurricanes haven't lost back-to-back games since January 12th and 13th. So, gosh, kind of a lot's happened since that occurrence. Yet, I think we are in for one of those moments in which Carolina is going to need to kind of offset the way that not only they came back, like almost feels you did all that work and then you didn't get it across the line. And so now what? It probably is as frustrating as it gets at the moment. I don't know about you, buddy. I mean, Frederik Andersen got you here. Has it been the best performance? No, but do you really pivot now? I mean, if you're going down, you go down with your best bullet, right? Or how would you handle it if you were Rod Brind'Amour?
I think you got to go back to Andersen. That's what I would do. And again, to me, if you have nothing invested in this thing, I would play Freddie at 65-1 because as bad as he's been, at least as bad as he was in game three, if he's given the opportunity, I'd be surprised if he wasn't given that opportunity at this point in game four. And then you get let's be honest too, the defense in front of him has not been great as well. It's kind of been in tandem with that to get Frederik Andersen at one point, the short shot there, what about 250 plus 250 to win the Conn Smythe here before this tournament or this final began. And now to dip all the way to 65-1, it's going to take better goaltending. I don't know that they can win 5-4 games here the rest of the way and beat VGK as plus $1.50 betting underdog right now, down 2-1. I would take a stab there at Frederik Andersen at 65-1 if you don't have money already invested in it. Because I think in order for Carolina to win, the defense in front, he'd have to be better. Correlated plays to low scoring. And by the way, there has not been an under yet. And that's part of the reason why VGK is up 2-1, right? I think it's just a harder brand of hockey for Carolina to play, that up-tempo with more chances here. And it feels like when VGK gets the chances, they're taking advantage of them really early in these games as well. So remember, it was scoreless after one, and you're thinking, all right, here comes the dead under. And then four goals, bang, 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 out goes Freddie Andersen. And then you get three goals in 39 seconds for Carolina in that third period. Gents, that's just as wild a game. But to me, Anderson's got to be the pivot if you think the Hurricanes can get back and win the Stanley Cup.
I totally agree with you. And I'm very interested when we break it down tomorrow, if there has been a fluctuation, at least in the marketplace right now, Dave, looking at it, still about 65% of bets, 64% of money on the Golden Knights to win. At least that's on the money line. Total wise, people think it's a dead over. 91% of bets, 88% of money on the over six. We have had nowhere close to an under so far. And I don't know about you. You saw it firsthand out there. It kind of feels like both defenses are a sieve at some point. This is going to be fascinating to see what that, what the alterations or the adjustments might be when we get to puck drop tomorrow night.
I wonder what that conversation is going to be like for Rod Brind'Amour. But if it is with Frederik Andersen, you know what it's got to be, right? It can't be quick hook. It's got to be, you're my guy. I trust you. Go get the job done that I know you can do. That's got to be the response, not the way that the fans might look at it. Let's talk some World Cup because we're getting ready to get on the pitch starting Thursday. Let's break it down next right here. VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
If you're looking to put your World Cup knowledge to the test at the highest level, this contest is for you. Splash Sports is offering $1 million guaranteed in a high-stakes survivor contest. $1,000 to enter, $1 million on the line. You can only use a team once throughout the entire World Cup. So pick wisely from the group stage all the way through the knockout rounds and outlast everybody else in that million is yours. Right now, new players using the promo code VSiN get a 50% deposit match up to $100 a free Quick Picks entry up to $20, plus a 100% Quick Picks payout boost on an entry up to $20. Entries do close here in a couple days, people, on June 11th, so don't wait. Head over to splashsports.com/VSIN. Use that code VSIN. You got to be 21 years of age or older, and it's available in select states only. So make sure you are eligible in your state of choice. And, Jensen, the World Cup will begin in earnest. This will be 3 p.m. Eastern. Mexico City will be Mexico against South Africa. And then South Korea is going to take on Chechnya. That's going to be in Guadalajara at 10 p.m. Eastern. The World's Tournament beginning on Thursday. Jensen, we got to wait for the red, white, and blue until Friday. We take on Paraguay in L.A.
That'll be at 9 p.m. Eastern, and excited to get it underway, excited to see where we are. And ultimately, you know, this is one of those things as far as that competition and the survivor style of that. If you want to jump in here, I know a couple of weeks ago we kind of looked at, all right, what are some strategies needing to get four teams mm-hmm. through to be able to be eligible into the knockout round? I went through some of the groups, Dave, and also looking at some of the Opta power ratings and seeing where some of the advanced data is for these groups. Came away that group, I think it's group I, is probably going to end up being that group of death. You know, we always look for that in seeing where not only potential tournament winning teams could be and what their pathway looks like, but group I, France, Senegal, Norway, who I think is going to be one of those intriguing teams, maybe in that dark horse category, and Iraq are group I. Group K is right behind it. Also in those kind of Opta power rating evaluations, if you will, Portugal, Colombia, the DR Congo, and Uzbekistan, a very interesting group. So here's how I would go. Mexico is going to start. Okay. That feels like the home support is going to get them through. They should win group A. I would be very shocked if another team out of it does. I would say that South Korea would probably be that next best contender. Don't see the Czech Republic or South Africa being able to put up a really big fight. Group B feels like the weakest overall, but Switzerland and Canada are the top two candidates there. And I think accurately priced the way they are. Canada probably gets a little boost here in North America, and they should be able to find a way to, if not the top spot, a very comfortable second. I would still lean to Switzerland to win that group. Group C, hey, Brazil, star power, you know, one of the top shots to be able to win it behind Spain, France, and England. Still think Brazil is the most talented of Group C. Morocco is an interesting dark horse team, really well organized. I think they could even challenge as a group winner to Brazil. Scotland, not worried about it. Haiti, thanks for coming out. Appreciate you qualifying. Don't see them coming out of it. Then we get to group D, bud, and that is the great red, white, and blue. There is a little bit of a dance about expectation versus pressure. Uh-huh. And I think both go hand in hand, right? You're going to go to SoFi on Friday. It's a prime time late kickoff, if you will. And I think in that group, so you have the United States, you have Turkey, you have Paraguay, and you have Australia. No reason why they shouldn't win it outside of that pressure getting to them. So if you're a betting man, mm-hmm. and sometimes you are in soccer, would it just be a straight group winner, or would you rather go to a different price of the U.S. to qualify for the knockout round? How would you play it just in Group D?
Man, I got to be honest with you, Jensen. When it comes to the United States and soccer, I have zero faith, right? I want to bet with my heart. I want to root for my home country. We're playing in L.A., but I've been there. I've gone to the soccer bars in Chicago and, you know, 10 years ago and 15 and 20 years. Oh, I believe that we will win. Oh, I believe that we will win. And we're all doing that. We're all getting fired up. And then we get disappointed. And then we get let down by this team. You know, every 4 years, it's kind of like that big letdown. Like, when are we ever going to be good in soccer? I don't know how much collectively. Yes, of course, we care as a country. We want to be good in everything because it's American exceptionalism. That's what we want. That's what we expect out of our athletes, right? We demand it out of our guys. Jensen, I don't know that I guess I could play a plus at +130 to get out of the Group D because, again, we had this conversation last week. What are the realistic expectations for this team? And they should begin there. It should, again, should and will are two completely different things here. But it should be to at least get out of this. And as you mentioned, playing in L.A., I mean, you got everything working in your favor, Team US of A, right? This should at least be the time that we can say, plus $1.30, what am I missing? I got to play that number. It's just take caution in our tone, Commander, because this team has let us down so many times and times before. So I always like to say those who don't remember the past are condemned to repeat it. This hopefully will not be one of those examples, Jensen, and that we can actually get out of that group at plus $1.30. I'd like to think that Team US of A is at least good enough to do that. But until we do it, Jensen, my expectation levels are probably even lower than everybody else's are out there when it comes to the World Cup.
All right, so a couple of more groups here that looking at some not only group potential winners, but also some qualifiers. We go to Group E. I would believe it's Germany and the Ivory Coast. Not a lot of faith in Ecuador or Curacao. Group F would be Netherlands and Japan. Sweden, an interesting group there, but I don't think they or Tunisia will be able to challenge the quality and the depth, certainly, of the Netherlands. Japan is very technical, disciplined. I think that they are going to find their way into the knockout stage and could be a handful there as well. Group G, an interesting one. Belgium would probably be the easy answer to win the group. Egypt, though, you have Salah there, who's going to be as big of a guy in the goal-scoring round here, a candidate for the Golden Boot, depending on how much Egypt can not only stay alive but advance. I would think that Group H, if Uruguay can challenge Spain, that'd be fascinating, but I think Spain, very clear-cut, should be not only the class of the group, but we obviously know they are the shortest odds to win the World Cup. Mention the group of death, and it bears repeating. France, going to be one of those teams that you look at to not only as a being part of our VSIN contest here in the survivor echelon, it's probably a team you don't use to get into the knockout round, albeit Norway, and for those that watch a lot of Premier League soccer, Dave, Erling Haaland, who plays for Manchester City, is going to be one of the forefront guys there for Norway. They could be a legit threat to win the group, but I would imagine that it's France and Norway. Senegal and Iraq, we'll see how it works, but Senegal, one of those upstart number three teams there, and I think a dark horse team overall. Group J, this could be it for Lionel Messi here, Dave. So Argentina, probably the easy answer to come out of Group J as the winner. Austria, always a solid group. They will be one that might be able to pull a surprise, but would still lean to Argentina. Group K is the other one outside of Group I in the group of death scenario here. Colombia is one of those teams, Dave, that if you're looking for one that's not the shorter shots to win the World Cup, that might be a team you holster to be able to use in the knockout round for our survivor competition. Portugal, obviously, with Ronaldo, you're seeing two titans of the sport in Messi and Ronaldo. They could be their last dances, respectively. Bruno Fernandes, also part of that Portugal outfit. They will be, you probably flip a coin between Colombia and Portugal who win Group K. And then finally, Group L, the Englishman. England with Harry Kane is going to be a very good attacking front. Let's see what they do there. Croatia is a savvy veteran group. Ghana and Panama, thanks for coming out. We appreciate your participation. Although Ghana, you know, one of those weird teams that could kind of lull you to sleep and might be able to get the best of you. So that's kind of how I look at it, pal. I would say that the chalk might hold here, though. Spain and France feel like they are kind of that group where you separate everyone else. The depth, the ability for them to be able to execute, especially with corners, and be able to attack, hard to see them not advancing at least into the semis, if not meeting for the right to hoist the World Cup.
I'll show my age here. I was covering, as a much younger man, the 1999 Women's World Cup. They came to D.C., and I went out there to RFK Stadium and had a little sit-down with, you might remember some of the names like Mia Hamm and Brandi Chastain, and I had talked with them, and then we saw what happened in 1999. It really did kind of set the stage on fire for the Women's World Cup. They've gone on to win not just in 99, but in 15 and 19 as well, and I keep waiting for that resurgence for the men's side. I keep waiting for it. It's happened for the women. And they'd won it already in 91 as well. But that 99 team was really the team that got to put women's soccer in the United States on the map for good. And we're waiting for the men to do that. And waiting, and waiting, and waiting. I don't know if this is the year, Jensen, but 60-1 to win the World Cup for Team USA? Not with my money. I hope it happens. I'd love to see it. It'd be an unbelievable story. Maybe the story of the summer if they could get it done. But they got to make me believe and not just chant. I believe that we will win. When we come back, let's talk a little Major League Baseball, what we saw over the weekend, and we'll take a look into this week. That is all next right here on VSiN by the Books.
By the Books, right here on VSiN.
Championship season is upon us. VSiN Pro can help you bet it smarter. For a limited time, lock in your early bird pricing on our football special for just $175. So the sooner you sign up, the more value you're going to get. You're going to get full access to everything we do across every major sport throughout the entirety of this year in through the Super Bowl in February. That means coverage for the NBA Finals continuing. And the Stanley Cup Final. Belmont Stakes has come and gone, and what a race that was. Major League Baseball right now in early access to our 2026-2027 betting guide that's dropping in just a couple weeks here on June 22nd. So it's going to help you attack features, win totals, divisional races, and the upcoming NFL season. Going to get our best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and season previews for college football, the NHL next year, and the NBA next year, and so much more. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Mentioned that I had a great time at UFC Apex. It was really cool. Watched game two with JVT. We got to catch up with Mike Palm and, of course, Bill Ady and Derek Stevens, and everybody was on pins and needles for that game two, Carolina and VGK game, which was wild. Got to watch game two of the NBA Finals with it was cool watching with a hockey guy and Jonathan Davis watching basketball as we were rooting for the over. The sadly did not get home. And then going to the UFC Apex, and shout out to Zayd Hussain. It was just great being with Zayd and Rob Moreno, and we're having a great fight night. And as I'm leaving the arena after a great card, by the way, UFC Dana White, and I'll get into this as the week goes on here, as to why the value of UFC Apex and seeing it firsthand for the first time since I left Vegas and the changes to it, I understand why that's not going away. So who do I see, Jensen, as I'm walking out? Just some guy named Russell Westbrook just happily, casually goes by. And I saw the UFC people there like, who is that? And then somebody goes, they do the motion. He plays basketball. They go, oh, basketball. Because, you know, it's a lot of people from all over the world that don't know what sport you might play. So Russell Westbrook, can kind of go incognito. You know who could not, Jensen? Was Carlos Ulbrich. And so I see Blackjack right there, and he's got the big knee brace on. People remember the fight against Jiří Procházka where he tears his ACL and all the L's that he has. And I see the big fella, and he's walking right by me. I say, hey, champ. I said, heal up. Amazing fight. And he goes, I will. He goes, thanks, mate. And we shake hands. And then he keeps on going on his way, and he's stopping for pictures with people. Just real cool dude. And I kept thinking, does he have any idea, and he does not, how much money he cost me for his courage? For fighting with a torn ACL and knocking out Jiří Procházka, Jensen. Like, those athletes on that stage and, you know, whatever Russell Westbrook has to put his body through to get through, you know, series as he's done all these years, I think people forget, and it's a nice reminder when you're watching these fights in person or whatever sport you might be attending, what these people put through for our enjoyment and our betting pleasure as well. It's never lost on me, but seeing some of those kind of cross-sport athletes and where they were at UFC Apex on Saturday was pretty darn cool, and we never should take it for granted. Baseball, we shouldn't take it for granted either because it keeps going. We play 162, and sometimes we go, the mundane, it's the rat race. Baseball keeps on going, Jensen, and I love this time of the year where baseball really starts to take a little bit more center stage when you wrap up the NBA and the NHL as well. How about the Braves sweeping away the Pirates this weekend? The Brewers swept away the Rockies in a great comeback earlier in the week. And the Cardinals get a sweep of the Reds, and they don't seem to be going away as well.
I think that's probably the story right now is what St. Louis has done. They're at, 35-28, a week over first place, or at least a week over 500, and continuing to challenge Milwaukee there. They are second in the National League Central, just five games out. And I say just five because I think a lot of us thought they would be double digits out of the division race at this point. But it is the Reds who are in last place, almost double digits behind the Milwaukee Brewers. So interested to see where the staying power is. They are tied for the longest win streak right now in Big League Baseball. The St. Louis Cardinals are with winners of four in a row. And actually, they do have the longest losing streak right now. The Braves and the Brewers have won three in a row. But again, this has been a team, even Dave, they're minus two in run differential, but they found a way to just continue to surprise. And so it's a hard team to handicap because at some point it feels like the bottom has to fall out, but we haven't seen it yet. And it's just a credit to them, man. Exactly as you kind of just alluded to, is you just keep winning. Terry Francona used to say it all the time here in Cleveland. I
don't care about tomorrow, Dave. We're just here to win a series. Just here to win a series.
Okay, well, tip of the cap. Cardinals are in the fight. Yeah. They are, as I said, 7 games over .500. They're over .500 at home. They're 16-12 away from Busch Stadium. Credit where it's due, man. They have played really, really well so far.
Yeah, and I keep looking, like, you know, for us Met fans out there, if you're saying, well, how do you make a bet on the Mets to make a run at a wild card, right? I don't know that the division, when you're 15 and a half games behind the Braves, is really a possibility at this stage. And I'm talking about in the futures market because, you know, Carlos Mendoza was asked after the Mets. And by the way, they are playing better baseball. 7 games under .500. You got to start there before you can get there to even start thinking about these bets. But they take 2 of 3 against the Padres and kind of give away the game that they lost as well. And they asked Mendoza about, hey, you've wrapped up your West Coast trip. You don't have to come back here anymore this year. And he said in the regular season, he made the designation to the media, Jensen, to kind of say, you know what, you guys are thinking this thing is done. He's not thinking in those terms. Like in the regular season, that point of denotation was, hey, we might be back here in a wild card round. Now, they right now, again, the Mets are 7 games under .500. The team I do want to discuss, though, I thought had a really good week as well, was the Marlins. And they took 2 out of 3 against the Rays. And they all of a sudden, Jensen, are just 4 games back of being .500 as well. And I know the Nationals still at .500. And the Phillies now 5 games over .500. When you start to look at the NL wildcard picture, could a team like the Mets or a team like the Marlins actually make inroads? Because the teams we just talked about, the Cardinals right now and the Phillies, 5 games over, you'd have to think about running down. That might be hard to do.
Remarkable, right? If the playoffs started today, Dave, the Cardinals, Phillies, and Diamondbacks would occupy the 3 wildcard spots. Did not have on my bingo card that St. Louis and Arizona might be this alive, this late. And yes, we are 65, you know, 67 games into the season. So still, you know, a little under 2/3 of the way to go here. The Marlins begin play today, just 3.5 games out of the final playoff spot, which Arizona currently occupies. Dave, there are, including the Marlins, 6 teams within 3.5 games of a playoff spot there. San Diego, Pittsburgh, and the Cubs, all 1/2 game back. The Nationals, let me repeat, your Washington, D.C. native Washington Nationals, game and a half back. They're at .500. Didn't see that coming this late into the season. Game and a half out. Reds 2.5 out, and the Marlins 3.5 out. Your Mets are 5 out. I think that if you're going to buy into a team right now, and I've said it before, I picked the Pirates to be my final wild card team. They're plus 30 in the run differential. We are going to have to hold our breath, though, on that, Dave, because you're going to want to wait to see what the injury status of Brandon Lau is. It could be a month or two. That is a huge, huge potential injury. So we'll kind of wait and see what that timeline looks like. But if you're looking to kind of hit your wagon, it may be a buy low opportunity for the Cubs, but I still think the Pirates, with their pitching, and they feel like they're going for it. If you haven't invested in a make the playoff prop yet, it might be a good time, depending on the status and the length of the injury for Brandon Lau. That might be a team you want to invest in here pretty soon.
Don't look now. Okay, you can look. American League East. We got 2 teams deadlocked at the top with the Rays and the Yankees. But if you just readjust the rear view just ever so slightly, Jensen, and you see the Blue Jays 7 games back, is that a team that we might want to look at and say, not only are they certainly live in the wild card race, but if the Yankees are without Judge for a while, it feels like the Rays are starting to come back a little bit. Could they have something there, some staying power maybe in the AL East?
Could. And they better get their act together on the road. They're great at home. Dave, they stink on the road. They are 7 games under .500, 13-20 away from Rogers Center. So they got to figure it out away from being north of the border. But only a half game out of a playoff spot. Absolutely, I'm right with you. If you're going to invest in a team that is going to get a fair amount of pitching resources back in the rotation here in the next handful of weeks, then yes, that's a great team to look at. The Rangers have kind of stuck with it. They just beat the crap out of my Guardians yesterday. Jacob DeGrom looked really, really good. They're kind of sneaky right now. Yes, game under 500, but they would have that final wild card spot as we begin play today. Dave, outside of the Rangers, every other team that is on the outside looking in, a negative run differential by a fair margin in the American League. It is so wild to look at how bad the American League is overall with that statistic just standalone.
And that's why we do what we do. We start to look a little bit forward here. I know we're talking NBA, talking NHL and the Stanley Cup and the NBA Finals, but this is the time these teams starting to get in those pole positions and trying to see who can make a run from the outside. Maybe it's the Blue Jays north of the border. Come back. Let's talk about Game 3, Knicks, San Antonio next. VSiN by the Books.